How's that? Coming on? There we go. All right. Good morning, man. It's good to see you. This is the fourth year that I'm teaching this, and last year, I think I got to thinking about this, and I've been through this twice before. You know why I learned more last year? Myself, than the other 2 years that I taught it. And I'm looking forward to this year as well. Some of you are repeats, some of you are not. Some people thought, I heard some people say, well, I already went through it once, I don't need it again. I just want to encourage you, if you're here the second time, you'll probably learn more this year than you did last year. It's just one of those progressive things that you pick up on things that you didn't catch the year before. Last week, Jay got us off the launching pad and gave us an overview of what this year is going to be like. He gave us some foundational points. Number one was that manhood is in a state of confusion, and that's true. As I deal with a fair amount of hurting people, I trace so much of the problems back to men. No, they're not all the problem, but a huge amount of it is. God designed men to be the point men who set the direction for their families, for their churches, for their nation. And when men don't fill that role and they don't do it well, we're in trouble. And manhood today is in a state of confusion. Below the surface of everyday life, men really don't know what it means to be a man. So as we go through Encourage Men, as Anthony was saying, this is going to be a progressive, growing experience. I'd encourage you to stick it out and hang in there. It will be rewarding. Confused men create major problems in life. All over and over again, you can see it. Encourage Men is about a vision to call men up. There's not much in life that calls men up. There's lots that call them down. Not much to call us up. Precious little, in fact. To be a man, we ought to be, and really need to be, we need to be called up to a higher plane than what we are today. Jesus has some interesting words. He says it twice in the Gospels when he says this: no man can spoil a house unless he first bind the strong men. How many of you are quite aware that the strong men are being bound today? Or maybe there aren't any strong men around. There's very few around. And I look back on my own life and I see some of the struggles and the problems and some of the situations that I've dealt with in my own family. And I wasn't the strong man. I wasn't the strong man. And I watched, Satan is eating our lunch. So much destruction, so much hurt, so much pain. And men, I believe, and it's been so exciting to experience Encourage Men, and what has been exciting and rewarding about it is the input that starts coming back, the feedback that keeps coming back, and it comes back from children, and it comes back from wives, saying, my husband is a different man, my dad's a different man. I've heard it over and over again. And I've heard men tell me, I'm not the same man I was when I started. And I'd like to bear testimony to that as well. I want to encourage you men, stick it out. There's another interesting passage there, and listen to this one that Jesus gives in Luke 11:21 when he says this: when a strong man armed keeps his palace, his goods are in peace. That's powerful. I hadn't seen that before. I just saw that last night as I was studying and preparing to talk this morning. I saw that passage. Let me read it again. When a strong man keeps his palace, his goods are in peace. You ready to become a strong man and keep your home, keep your business, keep your church, help keep your community, and your goods can be at peace? When a strong man keeps his palace, what does it mean to keep our palace? It means to guard. And that's what we're going to talk about here this morning as we look at the four faces of manhood. Jay also gave us five promises that Encourage Men will encompass. He said if you'd stick with the whole year, and you know what, it's going to be a six-month journey. And getting together at 5:30 in the morning isn't always the easiest thing. I'm a morning person. I love to get up in the morning. Not everybody's that way. Some of you, that man back there is yawning. See that? He had a tough time getting up this morning. Sorry. But number one, he says that we'll end up with a clear, compelling definition of what it means to be a man. Clear, compelling definition of manhood. That's true. But it's going to take some toughness to stick it out. Number two, you'll learn a manhood language, a new language that'll allow you to converse with other men in this room in a powerful way. Your life will get called up because you'll be able to communicate with men in a way of accountability, of a way of calling each other up. Men need to be called up. Jay told us that if you'd stick with this, you would make some significant discoveries about yourself. And I just want you to know that to make those significant discoveries, it's going to take courage. You're going to end up having to tell the truth about yourself, about the past, maybe about mom, maybe about dad, maybe about experiences that happened to you or experiences that you created. It'll take some courage to tell the truth. One of the foundational principles that we have to base life on, men, is this. Jesus says, "If you keep my words, then are you truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and what will happen? The truth will set you free." But you see, there's a progression that happens before that. First of all, he says, "If you keep my words." We like to quote that scripture, and it says, we like to quote Jesus as saying, "You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free." But you know what? There's no foundational principles behind that. He gives the foundation. He says, "If you keep my words, if you obey me, if you follow me, if you hear what I have to say, and you apply it in a practical way to everyday life, then you will truly be my disciple. And then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And do you know what I love? Two verses later, "And whom the Son sets free will be free indeed." Yes. We're on a journey to freedom, men. A journey to becoming strong men, so that Satan cannot destroy our homes, so that our palaces can be kept. I want to challenge you with that. You're going to make some new friends because we're all pursuing the same goal. We want to be better men. That's why you're here. And you will develop new friendships. Those of you who are here, you get involved in a small group. You develop close friendships. You develop some accountability. And I'd like to say to you this morning, in small groups, if you're struggling with in a small group, if the small group doesn't seem to be effective and it's not working well for you, please contact one of the staff and talk to us about it. Okay? Small group is important. We want it to work well. It's where you connect. And it's where you communicate about the lesson that was taught that morning. And where it can start making application, and where you can once again have the courage to tell the truth about where you are in relationship to the truth that was taught that morning. And then you're going to lead with your own personal manhood plan. I don't want you to get too excited about or too concerned about a manhood plan. Some of you really struggle with writing. Some of you find writing comes easy. A manhood plan does not have to be elaborate. It can be very simple. I've seen manhood plans that are on one small page and a few lines written. I've seen some that are 3 pages long. And yet, a manhood plan will give you a sense of direction. It'll be your roadmap to the journey to authentic manhood. So consider that, as Anthony said, the manhood plan is important. As you go along, make some notes, jot some notes down in your workbook, and you'll be able to go back and pick it up and make application and actually apply it to your manhood plan. This morning we embark on our journey from into authentic manhood. I'd like to start out by telling you, I'd like to give you some men's rules. We're always hearing rules from women. You know, we always hear women's rules, but I'd like to give you some men's rules. These are our rules, men. Number one, learn to work the toilet seat. You're a big girl. If it's up, put it down. You can handle it. We need it up, you need it down. You don't hear us complaining when you leave it down. Number one, crying is blackmail. Number one, ask for what you want. Now let us be clear on this. Subtle hints do not work, strong hints do not work, obvious hints do not work. Just say it. Number one, yes and no are perfectly acceptable answers to almost every question. Number one, come to us with a problem only if you want help solving it. That's what we do. Sympathy is what your girlfriends are for. Number one, if something we said can be interpreted two ways and one of those ways makes you sad or angry, we meant it the other one. Number one, you can either ask us to do something or tell us how you want it done, not both. If you already know how best to do it yourself. Number one, Christopher Columbus did not need directions, and neither do we. Number one, all men see only in 16 colors like Windows default settings. Peach, for example, is a fruit. It's not a color. Pumpkin is also a fruit. We have no idea what mauve is. Okay. Number one, if we ask what is wrong and you say nothing, we're going to act like nothing's wrong. We know it's not true, but it's not worth the hassle. Number one, don't ask us what we're thinking about unless you're prepared to discuss such topics as baseball, hunting, or monster trucks. Okay. Anyway, men, those are men's rules. And no, really, men, this is not the manhood that we're going to be looking at. This is not the manhood we're going to be talking about. In fact, I'd encourage you, men, life takes on some very practical things. You know, one of the things that I taught my son, there was only two men in my family, okay? My son and I. And I taught him, you always put the toilet seat down after you're done using it. Okay? Simple courtesies in the home make a whole lot of difference. Okay? So, forget that first one, okay? Forget all of them, in fact. Okay? Just having some fun. Today we want to look at the four faces of manhood. And the first face that we're going to be looking at is the face of a king. The face of a king is a face that reflects the love of right, a righteous energy. It's righteous leadership. It's doing, and what is righteousness? What it is, righteousness is simply doing the right thing for those who are under us. Men, authentic men don't compare stuff. We compare character. How do you compare yourself with the people around you? How much stuff they've accumulated? What their home is like? What they drive? How many extra toys that they have? No. Genuine, authentic men and the true kings will compare moral character rather than things, houses, cars, stuff. And this face is characterized by strong convictions. Strong convictions. We need to know where the lines are drawn. Today, men don't know where the lines are drawn. Sometimes we know and we don't act on it. Kings will act on where they know the lines are drawn. We'll make decisions based on strong convictions. When the opportunity to do wrong occurs, he makes the decision to not go down that road. Every day, men, we're faced with decisions, aren't we? Yes, we are. Every day. Every day, a man must make decisions. It's getting colder now. You don't have quite as many decisions to make. But just in hot weather and you drive down the streets of any town, you have decisions to make. What are you going to do with your eyes? What are you going to do with that girl that's walking down the street in your mind? How do you engage it? It's based on strong convictions. She does not belong to me. She might be attractive, but she is not mine. She does not belong to me. I'm heading this direction. My eyes belong to someone else. And if no one else here on earth, it belongs to God. Strong convictions. Making the right choices when the decision is there before us. Strong convictions to forgive when other men get even or hold grudges forever. You know, men are good at holding grudges. Men are good at getting even. But authentic men, real kings, forgive. And you know it's harder to forgive than it is to get even. We're going to talk about real forgiveness this year. We'll talk about where that's at. Strong convictions is taking the high ground when everyone else takes the low ground. Strong convictions to do the right thing when the wrong thing is popular. Peer pressure is pretty tough on us men at work, sometimes even at church. Standing alone when colleagues are doing wrong or trying to seduce them. A genuine man, an authentic man walks away. Even if it costs us our job, so be it. An authentic man, a king, chooses right over comfort and circumstances. Do you remember Nathan in the Bible? He had to confront David. Guess who the real king was for a while? It was Nathan. Okay. The real king had abdicated the throne by his wrong choices in moral decisions. And Nathan had to approach him. Do you think it took a king to approach a king? It did. He was a prophet. He was a priest. He was a priest. But he approached David, and he wore the king face of an authentic man. Because, you see, David could have done anything with him. He could have had him killed. He could have had him wiped out. Nathan was putting his neck on the line, his life on the line, when he walked into David and says, "You're the man. Nathan wore the face of a king. He had the righteous moral energy to do what is right. Not self-righteousness, but the righteousness that does what is right. And people should experience that presence in us. This face is characterized by courageous moral choices. How about David? Here's adultery and here's murder. And Nathan nails him with a story. And here David returns to the king face. Because when he was confronted with the truth, when David says, "You are the man," he did not say, "I did not have sex with that lady." A few years ago, we had a president who said that, didn't we? Okay, he was not a king. He wimped out and he abdicated. David took on the responsibility and says, "I am that man. You said I was that man, I am that man. And I acknowledge it." You know, it takes courage, men, and we are going to need some courage this year to face the strong choices that we will need to make if we're going to become authentic men. David did not do the normal king thing. He did not deny, he did not excuse, and he did not blame. Real men do not deny, excuse, or blame. Men, if we deny something, or if we excuse something, or if we blame somebody else, blame it on something else, we will not heal, we will not become genuine men, we will wimp out and we will abdicate the throne. Real men. David did not do the normal king thing. He did the right thing, and he says, "You're right, I've sinned, I've done wrong, and I lay my right to be right before God, and I let God make the choice of how He's going to deal with me." A number of years ago, there was a young man. He was really climbing the corporate ladder in a very up-and-growing business, and this is a true story. And he was really making some inroads and lots of opportunities ahead of him for, you know, just to keep on growing in the company and becoming somebody in the company. And his boss, you know, called him on the phone and said, "Hey," he says, "God, I want to have some of my business associates from another business meet with you. There's an opportunity here for you to really go places." And he says, "I'd like to take you out to meet with these people. We're going out for dinner." So the boss picks him up, and they're heading off to where they're going, and guess where they pull into? They pull into a gentleman's club. Now, I don't know if you know what a gentleman's club is, but it's not where gentlemen hang out. Okay? Dinner's served by topless waitresses and that sort of thing. And when he was pulling in there, this man that he was taking out says, "No, I can't go along in there with you, sir." He says, "Yeah, what do you mean you can't? You have to. You know, our future, your future depends on this." He says, "I'm sorry, but I cannot go in there with you." He says, "Even if it costs me my job, I can't go in there with you. I have a wife and I have children at home, and I will not compromise that standard." And he didn't. And he did lose his job. Okay, real men make difficult choices. They make the right choices. It's characterized by a servant's spirit. 18 times the scriptures talk about David as "my servant David." God speaking about David, "my servant David." Are you a servant, men? I had a call from a young mother some years ago, and she was saying, "Hey, we're really struggling in our relationship." And then she went on to tell me one of the very practical ways that she was really struggling with. She goes, "You know, at night my husband really likes baseball, and he comes home and he plops in the chair and he turns on baseball, and that's where he sits." And she goes, "I've got 4 children to get ready for bed, and I ask him to help me get them ready for bed, and he says that's not my job." Okay, that's not an authentic man. He's not a servant, and he's not going to be the strong man that protects his palace and his home. We think that kings rule. No, they serve. Jesus says, "In my kingdom, those who wish to be great among you, they become the servant of all." That's the kingdom that we're seeking. It's also characterized by righteous leadership. In Psalm 78, verses 70 and 72, the powerful words that God says about David. He chose David also, his servant, and took him from the sheepfolds, from following the ewes, great with young. He brought him to feed Jacob his people. Now listen, men, if you want a pattern of where to, how to function in your homes, in your families, in your churches, in your communities, it's David. In many ways, there's some places we don't want to follow him, but there's many ways that we should and we need to. He's saying he brought him from tending the sheep to feed Jacob his people and Israel his inheritance. And listen to how it says he dealt with us. So he fed them according to the integrity of his heart and the skillfulness of his hands. Men, that's where we're going this year. We want to develop integrity of heart, skillfulness of hands. Many of you are already there, but we're going to strengthen that. That's our goal. That's what we want to do. Doing the right thing to those who are under us. Compare moral character rather than stuff. You know, men, let me just back up. I'll take that off the screen so you're not looking at it right now. When you're a king has authority. A king has authority. Did you know there's a huge difference between authority and authoritarianism? Authoritarianism is one who exercises authority simply from their position's state. It's because I said so. I'm the strongest, you're going to listen. You know, I'm the dad. I'm the husband. I'm the head of this home. God says so. That's authoritarianism. Jesus says that he spoke as one with authority because he did have authority. Okay, authority means you're speaking from truth and on the foundations of a biblical sound relationship with the Father. A man who has authority is one who knows how to function under authority. If we know how to function under authority, then we can have authority. If we've never learned to function under authority, we will function with authoritarianism or we'll wimp out. True authority cares about those who are under him. This next screen shows the difference. On the left side, you're going to see authoritarian response. On the right side, you'll see true authority. Let's just look at them quickly. Authority plus high expectations equals frustration. It doesn't mean you don't have high expectations of your children, but if that's all they hear, you're going to frustrate them. Whereas on the other side, authority plus acceptance, you will have appreciation. They will appreciate you. They will appreciate that authority. Authority plus anger. Your children and your wife will be overwhelmed. I see it all the time with hurting families. Authority plus kindness equals encouragement. Authority plus pride and your family will feel controlled. You know, I'm the big cheese around here. Authority plus humility will allow openness with your children, with your wife. They'll feel comfortable sharing with you. Authority plus lack of sympathy and your family will feel rejected by you. Authority plus sympathy and they will feel loved. Authority plus rejection, your family will be lonely and so will you. Authority plus acceptance will give respect and support. The scripture talks about the king's face very clearly. But the path of the righteous is like the shining sun. Now, just consider it. I don't know, this morning the sun's not up yet, but after a while it's going to get light outside, and the sun starts rising. I love sitting out on my porch with a cup of coffee watching the sunrise. I just like watching the sky light up. Okay, and the sky starts turning orange and red, and then the sun starts coming up, and you start feeling the heat. But listen to what this says. The path of the righteous is like the shining sun that shines brighter and brighter and brighter until the fullness of day. That's what it's like to be a godly man, the king. The older you get and the closer you walk with the King of Kings, the more you will grow brighter and brighter. Every man here is in the process of either developing or snuffing out the king face in your life. It comes with daily decisions, right or wrong, moral or immoral, telling a lie or telling the truth. You're going to be climbing hills, mountains, scaling the summit. Here it says the king's face grows brighter and brighter. A righteous man becomes brighter and brighter the older he goes. The very next verse, verse 19 says this, "But the way of the wicked is darkness." Totally opposite. They do not know what makes them stumble. Does that talk about confused men? Indeed it does. Indeed it does. Proverbs 20, verse 7. The just man walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. The next face is the face of a warrior. This is a face reflecting conquering energy. Men, God wants warriors. He wants soldiers. We fight for things that we seek after, we desire, or to be on top of, and that's the wrong kind of warrior. Men, we are all warriors in one shape or another. Sometimes, you know, there's some very good businessmen here, but there's some businessmen who will climb over top of anybody else to get where they want and to get what they want. Okay, that's not the warrior that God's looking for. This face is characterized by initiative. The warrior goes after. He's the first to move in. He'll face a fight, but he'll do it on the basis of right and what is correct. He's a protector. He shields and he defends. Your wife needs to know that you will defend her and you will fight for her. Your children need to know that you'll defend and fight for them as well. It's a face characterized by provision. I'm going to take care of you no matter what it takes. It's a face that is persevering in the midst of all kinds of adversity. I'm going to repay that debt even if I have to work two jobs and it takes me the rest of my life. I've incurred that debt. I'm going to pay for that. I'm going to be responsible for the decisions that I've made. Perseverance, hanging in there when the going gets tough, fighting for what is right. The true warrior face is not destructive, but it's a positive energy force. This face in Scripture, it's over and over again. You know, pursue righteousness. Paul tells Timothy, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Does that sound like a warrior? Stu Weber wrote a book called Tender Warrior. Sounds like an oxymoron. That's a powerful book. God wants tender warriors. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on. Do you know what laying hold on means? It means you're going to fight for it and you're going to grab a hold of it. Lay a hold on eternal life. 2 Timothy 2:3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You see, we are to be soldiers. We're to be warriors. Ephesians 6:10 through 13, you know what it says. Be strong. Put on. Stand against. For we wrestle not against principalities and powers, but against the rulers of darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. And because of this, take on the whole armor of God. And then when it comes time when the test comes, you'll be able to stand. You'll be able to handle it. And having done all, he says, stand. Yeah, take a position and stand. Don't wimp out. Our culture is discouraging the warrior in men. Our teaching profession, teachers in school, has largely been populated by women, and they've been downplaying and subduing this male attribute because they see men as largely out of balance. Do you see that? Our world, our feminized world, sees men as out of balance. Do you know what we do to them? Well, they have ADHD. Let's drug them. And so we drug the kids. Instead of we're taking away their playtime. We're taking away the time when they should really be out there and getting off their energy and experiencing what it really means to be a young man or a young boy, but because they want them all to act like little girls. And so we'll drug them, then they'll act like little girls. And we're doing it wholesale, and it's not working. We're creating all kinds of problems. The next face is the face of a lover. This is a face reflecting romantic energy. It's as unnatural to a man as a warrior is to be natural. How comes God commands us to agape love our wives? Well, because we're commanded to do it because it doesn't come natural for us to do it. We have this tendency to sort of override and overrule and just sort of dominate. That's our natural tendency, but God says, no, you must love, agape love, sacrificially love, just like Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. We will deal with that. We'll talk about that down the road. The balancing face of a man that he needs to turn down one more business deal to spend more time with his wife and with his children. But boy, that business deal looks so, so attractive to us. This is a face characterized by, face characterized by tenderness, sensitivity. You guys sensitive? We don't want to admit it, do we? Do you realize how different we are from women? How about turning to the guy next to you and say, hey, I got to go to the bathroom. You want to go along? You're in trouble. You're in trouble. Women do it all the time. It's a social experience, you know? Doesn't work, man. Doesn't work. Don't try it. Don't try it. I don't want to see the aftermath, you know? That's not the way it works. No. No. Sacrificial care. Sacrificial care. Do you pout when you don't get your way? You don't get your way with your wife, do you pout? You wouldn't admit it if you did, do you? I did a lot of pouting in my life. Yeah. Didn't get what I wanted. I'd have my own way, a manly way of sulking. You know, simply pouting. Yeah. We can be total jerks, man. Just because we don't get our way and we walk around like we're wounded or hurt with a chip on our shoulder. Yeah. Real men. Authentic men don't pout when they don't get their way. Emotional openness. This is difficult for us, men. We're not used to exposing our heart. We keep that covered up pretty well. We'll talk a lot more about this in the future. It's a face characterized by physical affection without ulterior motives, men. Without ulterior motives. This face is seen in Scripture. We'll talk about this physical affection one right next. Here we go. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and he gave himself for her. Listen, men, when we love our wives unconditionally, we love them with a physical love, with an affection without ulterior motives. And here's what, hear my heart, it means without sex. Because you see, here it's as Christ loved the church. Did you know that Christ and the church are not married? The marriage has not been consummated. We are in the engagement period. This is the espousal period. And you know what we're being loved by God with? An affection that has no ulterior motives. Not, I'll love you for what I can get out of you or from you. I love you because of you, who you are as a person. We're going to talk more about this. This is a huge one, man. But to love your wives without ulterior motive. Sure, does that mean no physical relationship? Absolutely not. No. But you see, a wife responds when her heart is cared for and she's loved without ulterior motives, and she can respond physically. You love her with ulterior motives, she shuts down on you physically, and you don't get the very thing that you really would love to have. Okay? God has a plan. The next face, the face of a friend. This is a face reflecting connecting energy. This is what Encourage Men will be about this year too, connecting with other men. It's a face characterized by loyalty. People in your small group, okay? You can share things with your people in your small group. When you have a small group this morning, if somebody shares something, and you know, as you go on, more and more things will be shared, perhaps getting deeper into hurts and needs, and maybe people will feel the openness and the willingness and the courage to become vulnerable. What you hear at Encourage Men stays at Encourage Men when it comes to other people sharing personal parts of their lives. Okay? Loyalty. They know that they can trust you. They can count on you not to spill this all over the place. Authentic men are loyal. They don't gossip. They don't tell other people. Accountability. That's what small group is also about. Accountability. Hey, I'm struggling in this area of my life. Hey, I've been having a hard time with pornography. I've been having a hard time with this part of my life. Would you ask me how I'm doing on a regular basis? Would you call me up? I don't want to keep going this direction. I want something to change. It's characterized by challenge, calling one another up. It's characterized by fun. Men love to have fun. And that's okay. That's okay. Let's have fun. We can have fun here. Most of us do not have real friends. We want a friend. That person to give us his time, invest in us, talk to us, support us. But you know what? We don't have time. And so we don't have time to become a friend. And so we don't have friends. And we have these shallow friendships that really never get to the depth of what's going on. And so we have men who say, hey, do you have friends? Oh, yeah, I got lots of friends. Do you ever share your heart with them? Share my what? No. Because we don't have time to spend time to develop that kind of a friendship where there's some vulnerability and accountability and loyalty and challenge. We'd like that to happen this year. For you to say, you know what? I need to be called up by other men. There's no one around us that we feel close enough to really trust with the secret things of our life, or that we can trust to talk tough to us when someone needs to get in our face. I have a brother who does that. And not too long ago, he called me on the phone. He says, Jason, there's some things you need to hear. And he told me some things I didn't want to hear. But I know that that brother loves me. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. He cared enough to tell me the tough stuff instead of let me continue to do what I was doing that he knew was creating problems. I cherish that friendship. I cherish that friendship. Men friends understand when life gets too heavy. You ever get to the place where you just love to run away? Anybody here ever feel like just running away? Hey, tell that to your wife and she'll panic. Tell that to your close friend and he'll say, hey, let me pack my bags, where are we going? Are you friend worthy? Connecting energy to other men. Reach out, spend time with, cultivate. Proverbs 18, verse 24 says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. Are you willing to show yourself friendly so you can have friends? Yeah. This face shown in Scripture, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Wow. How about this one? As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. We need each other. God knew that men need each other. This is a good place for it to happen, at Encourage Men. We need friends to hone off the hard spots, the bumps in our life, as well as to challenge and call each other up to balance and excellence. And you know, that's what your small groups are going to be about, committed to each other. And we're going to have some small group leader training. Jay Lockman's going to be taking care of that, and we just really appreciate what he shared with us last year. And our goal is that there's no one left behind. Not like the school program, but you know, that you feel cared for or left out. There's some important observations about these four faces that we'd like to leave with you. All too often, you know, if you and I don't live in balance between these four faces, then we develop some ugly caricatures of these faces. Here's the king, the warrior, the lover, the friend. If we move to the right as a king, instead of being in balance, you no longer have a king, you have a tyrant. And most men do not rule their houses well. They explode and become dictators for 15 minutes, which doesn't do a whole lot to endear yourself to your wife and children. Okay? If we go to the left, we abdicate the throne. And we don't rule at all. And that's what so many wives talk about. And so many men say, well, my wife doesn't let me rule. we don't rule at all. We'll abdicate the throne until our anger from our passivity builds up and then we explode and become a tyrant. Yeah, we vacillate between these two. God wants us to be in balance. He wants us to be a godly king. We already talked about what that means. If a woman doesn't know where she wants to go for dinner and you know you'll never make the right choice to please her, pick it anyway and then go do it. Okay? She needs to know that you can set a direction and you can go do that. It's okay. It's okay. Do it with gentleness, correctness, with rightness. If we mess up as a warrior, we become a destroyer and we do so much damage with our words, our actions, We might hit. We might strike. We might use words that damage and wound. We might be a strong warrior, but a weak king. And you know what? Without a strong king in your life, then the warrior gets out of control and he robs and he pillages and he cheats and he fornicates and he beats and he abuses and he overindulges because there's no king riding the warrior to live for the right thing. We need a righteous king in us to control the warrior in us. Otherwise, we become a destroyer. The opposite of this is we wimp out. We become passive. No conquering energy. And so we surrender. Do you ever notice that you can be a warrior at work and a wimp at home? It's me. I can be a warrior at work and a wimp at home. God wants that to change. He wants us to be a balanced warrior, both at work and at home. A balanced king at work and at home. A balanced friend at work and at home. A balanced lover at work and at home. How about the lover? We become selfish, critical, and harsh. We have a tendency to measure everyone around us by ourselves. And we don't really pick up on the real needs of the people around us. We're so focused on our own needs. You're not someone people are drawn to. When you walk into a room, people should be happy that you walk in. When you come home from work, your family should go, "Ah, Dad's home." Not, "Dad's home." Mom should say, "Hey, kids, watch it. Dad's home." They should say, "Hey, kids, Dad's home. Yay!" Okay. Measure who you are by your family's response to you. Okay. And then say, "I've got to change. There's something that needs some attention here." They should not be intimidated and scared. The opposite is to become cold. And sometimes we just simply give up, and then we withdraw, we put up walls, no emotion, we distance ourselves from our wives and our children. We're pretty good at that, men. We really are. We're good at that. If we mess up as a friend, we become a user. Hey, let's see. You have a cabin in the mountains, don't you? Sure like to be your friend. Why are you my friend? Because you have a boat? Or you have a place down by the ocean? Or you can get me something that I would like? I've had lots of friends like that. And when they needed something, I was okay to be their friend. When they didn't need anything, I really wasn't their friend. That gets a little discouraging. So be careful. It's so easy to become a user. Evaluate your friendship. We take advantage of others. And you know what? They'll withdraw from us. We'll use them for a while and then we'll chuck them away for the next one. The opposite is to become a loner. Hey men, without the king and the warrior roles, we become the soft male. Indecisive as to direction, weak as to leadership. And because our morally compromised culture, many men today lack a king in their life. And without a king, the warrior becomes unrestrained, hurting lives, including our own in the process. And without a king, the warrior becomes... Oh, there we go. Next one. Our increasingly feminized culture has castrated the warrior in many young men. That's what's happening today. Our feminized culture, not effeminate, but feminized, that we have so thinking that we have to all be gentle and kind and not conquering energy at all. It's got to be balanced. There is this balance that keeps it right. So the result has been the creation of the soft male, indecisive as to direction, weak as to leadership. And this has spurred on the warrior spirit in women. And what we end up with in our culture today, I see it in churches, I see it all around us, we see role reversal, where we have a wimped out man and we have a warrior as a wife. You see that, don't you? And you know what happens when you have role reversal? It reverses the very order that the kingdom of God stands for. And when that happens, we're in trouble. It creates confusion. Passive men and aggressive women produce angry and confused children. Passive men and aggressive women produce angry and confused children. And that's what we're producing today. This has to change. Only God and godly men can bring validation to men. Hear this, men. Only God and godly men can validate manhood. Do you know where men go to attempt to validate their manhood? They go to women. They go to their wives. Hear my heart. Women can validate your maleness. But only God and godly men can validate your manhood. Only God and godly men can call you up to be a man. A godly man. A balanced man. But do you know where men go time and time again? Back to their wives. Back to their women. They go to women to validate their manhood, and it doesn't work. And so they keep going back over and over again, and it doesn't work. They get their maleness authenticated, but that's not what they need. They need their manhood authenticated to become strong men so that he can protect his palace and so that his goods can dwell in peace. Okay. We need each other, men. We do need each other. No woman can validate a man. Men believe that it's a woman that can make them feel like a man. She can validate his maleness, not his masculinity. It feels so right, he goes back again and again, but never succeeds, and it moves wives into the controlling force in that relationship. The world is desperate. The world is desperate to see men with the four faces balancing their lives. And today's man is living out of balance. The goal over the next few months is to get this balance back in place. It's so much fun to be a king when you've learned to be a warrior. It's so much fun to be a lover when you're a friend. You know, we're going to be breaking into small groups at this point, and Anthony will come up and wrap things up here. I just want to encourage you. This morning, you're going to be forming small groups, and you're going to be in small groups. Here's what I'd like you to do. Start the process by sharing from what you've heard this morning. Share with your small group the area where you feel that you need the most attention. Share your weakness. Share where you see, wow, this is an area where I'm not doing so well. And let's get called up. Let's call each other up, man. Blessings.